And welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast. I hope we're actually recording here. Probably we are. It's a very, very hot day and the trucks are about to arrive. So at some point,
you're going to hear loud crashing.
We'll have to get up and close the window, but it's so hot. I don't think I can bear having the window closed.
Yeah, it was... We live in the attic too, so it's kind of our fault, but we should carve out the wall, part of the wall, and put air conditioning in there. Have you seen those like air wall units, like a one piece unit?
Oh yeah, they sit on the floor.
Shove it in the wall.
But we don't have any insulation, so I feel like that would be stupid.
We'll get somebody who knows what they're doing for us.
I'm really impressed because you fixed our garbage disposal.
I don't know. It was YouTube. I watched a YouTube video.
It was so. There was a screw
lodged in the underneath one of the rotating blades in the garbage disposal. So I had to unhook the garbage disposal from the water and from the drain, and then from the top of the sink, and then take it out and jam another metal thing in there to get the screw out, and then put it all back together. And then when I put it back together, I noticed there was like one of the pipes is rusted. So it was like spewing water out the pipe that goes from the trash compactor into the drain was spewing water because it was rusted. So I had to go buy one and put it all back together, like a plastic, one of those plastic plumbing pipes and stick it in there. And I put it together and it's not leaking that I can
tell.
It's
not leaking. It's so amazing.
And it's working.
It's so great.
That's actually the first home improvement product I've done without messing something up seriously.
That's your toxic masculinity coming into play.
I'm really good destroying things, and I could tear apart the ceiling of a kitchen and the floor of a kitchen. But putting things in and being constructive, I can't do very well. So this is a minor victory.
No, I don't feel like it's minor because periodically we have like weeks where we can't do any dishes. Because of all the water problems. But that's not why we came here. This is not what we came to talk about today. I guess we're celebrating Pride Month. We're doing an anti-celebration of Pride Month. Or at least, I'm giving in, and I'm just committed to trolling my way through Pride Month.
You've written some good
Pride articles. I'm going to troll the whole idea of Pride Month for the whole month. I usually try to avoid it, but I can't do it anymore. I'm just so irritated by the very idea of it.
Yeah.
Not so much that people would be caught in a bad way and want to identify themselves with something that isn't good. That it's that it's called Pride Month.
Like, right. This isn't. My name is so and so, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Alcoholism is great. We should all be alcoholics.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
And just in general, the idea that anybody would ever do that for any reason, it's a sign that Western civilization is over. That pride would be something that people would. Of course,
not just
from
people,
the dawn of time, pride has been part of the human lived experience. But when Christianity came into the world, it was the first time in human history where at least the idea that you shouldn't be proud became a thing. And we've gotten rid of that. Was a good run of at least pretending
right
not to be proud.
Right. Because the ethos of the ancient world was, at least the ancient Western world was,
pride is so great.
I'm going to do the best that I can to beat down the weaker and exalt myself to the highest position, and therefore be glorified. I mean, the glory of the Roman male is doing just that. And when Rome became Christian, they're still there. I mean, of course,
right? But it becomes sublimated. Like it becomes embarrassing to be seen to act that way. So you have to do it more nefariously. Right. You have to pretend to. You have to embrace your own personal hypocrisy.
Well, this is the problem that Nietzsche had with Christianity, because he said we should go back to the Roman ethos where you beat down people who are weak and you exalt yourself. That's the normal. That's the normal human way of being. And he's right. That is a normal human way of being. And he said that's the way that society would be better if we had this kind of competition between stronger entities, see who's the strongest. That Christianity says no,
that's not what we should do. What's interesting though is this new iteration of pride is that you're getting power by pseudo weakness. So you're embracing your own sense of victimness, but it's in order to get power.
Yeah, the Roman wouldn't exalt himself by canceling somebody else, by saying that, you know, his feelings were really hurt by Publius. So, you know, that's Publius needs to be taken out of the Senate because he said something offensive about the Carthaginians or whatever. But then,
it would be really funny to do like a woke retelling of ancient Rome.
Right.
That would be as fun as doing Disney Bible stories. That should be our summer project. The Disney Bible story was last summer, and that was so fun. I did want to...
Publius was a non-binary Roman senator.
Or do like Roman civilization and tweets.
Yeah.
I wanted to do some practical, Anne's guide to getting rid of your pride for Pride Month, which I haven't actually worked out. But also, I got some really great hate comments. People were angry with me for being, quote, mean about Jen Hatmaker, and some of those were pretty good.
What's strange is you weren't mean about her. You were actually being very, very compassionate about her divorce, and because it wasn't her wanting the divorce, if I understand right.
I don't think so.
Yeah, so that you're showing, I thought, pretty human compassion, saying we should pray for her. And
people were angry that I said we should pray for her because something about her being a sister in Christ. So I tweeted back that she's not a sister in Christ. But anyway,
yeah,
I still think we should pray for her.
Right, right.
Love your enemies, as they say, and pray for them.
Right.
But whatever.
Well, she's, we do hold a position that a Christian cannot believe that, or cannot promote same-sex relationships and remain in Christ, because Jesus said, "My disciples will abide in my word." And if you're promoting same-sex sexual relationships, you're not abiding in his word, so then you're not a Christian. So the, you know, this is why, you know, people who are saying, well, I don't agree with these things, but I'm gonna go to the pride marches, I'm gonna let them know I love them, there's better ways to let people know you love them than affirming their self-destruction. So you shouldn't go to a pride march, you shouldn't wear your rainbow sticker, you shouldn't mouth the slogans of Pride Week, because you're just hurting people when you're doing that.
Yeah. Okay, so do we want to, should we do one of these?
Yeah.
Which one? I can't see. It's too small. So which one should we respond to kindly?
Well, someone calling himself the Wolf of Odin says, just because you hate yourself doesn't mean the rest of us have to hate ourselves. I think he means, like, don't be proud. You're saying we shouldn't be proud. Translation to his mind is
self-hate.
As you're saying hate.
So that's good, because somebody else was saying, well, you just want to, you just start trying to shame people. So when I say for Pride Month, eschew pride, I don't mean, like, the opposite of pride is not self-hate or shame. Like, there's something in between there's another option between being feeling shame, mm-hmm. Or self-hate and pride. I would say that pride is actually self-hate. Self-pride. One thing that we have to do now is put the word self in front of everything. Yeah. Self-pride is actually self-hate. Like if you are really proud, you're not loving yourself accordingly to the way that love actually is supposed to be in a biblical sense.
Because it's dishonest.
It's, you're lying.
Right, right.
And so you're self-lying. And so your self-pride is destructive, and it's not good for you. Well, it's
because what you're doing is, if you're, and we're all proud to some extent, so this is not just other people.
Yeah, so
this is like the core. This is one of the core human sins we all fall into. But you see something about yourself that could be praiseworthy, and you use that thing maybe, or those things, to cover over the things that are, that you see that are not praiseworthy. So you I don't know, maybe you're a smart person, but you also happen to be very selfish and angry, and so you might focus in on your intellect and let people know how smart you are and have a lot of pride about your intellect, while at the same time that enables you to kind of hide.
But probably not very well.
Right. Well, you can say, well, they're just stupid.
Yeah.
they don't understand my.
They don't understand me.
Right. Right. So, but you know, it goes back to the garden. Eve and Adam deciding that they really should be God after all.
No,
because
I thought about it and I changed my mind. I'm gonna go ahead with the self God part.
Yeah, and while at the time before they decided that, there was really nothing wrong with them, but they believed that they had the potential within to be greater than they really could be, and so they believed the lie that the serpent was giving to them, and they destroyed themselves. That's why it's self-hatred, because you're puffing yourself up, you're fluffing yourself up to an extent that you to lie. Whereas if in fact you would say, as Paul says, you know, take an honest assessment, look yourself in the mirror and say, wow, okay, yeah, God made me, so there's some good things there, but I'm also really not very good in this area, and I should confess that to God and ask him to help me. That's humility.
Yeah. So like if you find wickedness within yourself, which everybody should do, everybody should find their own wickedness and be able to see it, which of course the whole point is that we don't want to, so we can't. But if you were to face something about yourself that was really bad, And if you gave into it, it would destroy your relationships or your life. If you see that, of course, you will feel a little bit of shame, mm-hmm. like, because it's shameful to be bad and wicked.
Right.
It's shameful to be really selfish, or to be angry unjustly, or to drink way too much, or to lust after people. Like, those are all things that are bad, and so if you find them inside of yourself, you will feel shame, and that's okay. That's
yeah.
fine.
Yeah.
But you don't have to then. There is a way out of the shame. And this is why the pseudo gospel of pride says that the way out of the shame is to actually redefine that thing as good and right. pretend that it's good. But the actual gospel says, no, that thing is actually bad, and that's okay. It's not okay, but somebody,
but it's not
literally,
doesn't necessarily mean you're dead,
came to take
right
away this thing from you and to make you okay. Give it to him, admit it, admit that it's bad, admit that you have it, that it's part of who you are, give it away to this other person who has power in this scenario, and that person will love you and accept you and will gradually take away this bad thing. And so then you are grateful and humble. You are, you don't actually become smaller, but the ground of your being shifts away from you and your wickedness and onto another person who has more power than you. And so you don't ground yourself in any other identity. You ground yourself on this other person. Because I was thinking, you know, a lot of religious, it's possible, and it happens on Twitter every day, to have pride in your religious convictions. Like, as a Christian, to self-identify as some kind of religious thing. And that's actually just, that's also pride. You're not resting the ground of your being on God, who has more power than you. You're still defining yourself in some kind of religious terms. So maybe it's conservatism, you know, maybe the source of your pride is your perfectly correct theology. That's still bad. That's still pride.
Right.
It creeps in all over the place.
Well, it's interesting, you know, because it's a, especially within Christian circles or professing Christian circles that are pro Pride Month. There's either a purposeful, in some cases, or a not studied, but the same effect. A return to Pelagianism. It's and you know, Pelagius taught that we're not fallen, that we're not inherently corrupt, and so we can, if we just put our minds to it, you know, do what God says and be righteous on our own accord. I mean, the grace of God for him was just he gave us the law, but the modern iteration of this is, well, I'm made in the image of God, and so whatever I see within is good because God put it there. So that actually informs the next comment that you got from Liquid Ambar, whatever that is. She says, so you write, God is good, Jesus is good, but we, the church, are not good. We are only good insofar as we admit that we are not good. And then she writes, why does God feel differently? And then she quotes, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Then God saw everything that he made, and indeed was very good. This is what I was talking about. It's a classic. And let's quote Genesis 1 to show that we're all very good, when, in fact, that ends in Genesis 2.
Hashtag Imago Dei.
Right. Genesis 2 is the last part of where we can say that, right? Because now... in Genesis 3, sin enters and we all become corrupt. We're all ruined. And so while the image of God remains, it doesn't do us any good because we're so bad. And so quoting Genesis 1 doesn't help you unless you're a Pelagian and you've decided that fall hasn't really affected anybody's.
But again, to be good, as a Pelagian, you have to dull down the bad, but the bad isn't as bad as it really is. You have to make it
less or just bad. Deny it's bad. Yeah,
either it's not bad at all or it's not that bad, and so you can get rid of it by, you know, doing something trite, like reading Robin DiAngelo or something.
Well, one way people are getting rid of it this was all over Twitter this last weekend, this was by deciding that Paul is not really someone to pay attention to.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. This one progressive, quote unquote, Christian pastor said, "Well, if Paul is someone who is causing you pain, you don't have to listen to him. you can just not read him."
You know what causes me pain?
What?
Twitter. So I just won't read Twitter.
Let me see if I can find that tweet. It's fascinating. So yeah, is Paul caught?
This is great show prep on the go.
Yeah.
Multitasking our way through our podcast.
Yeah. Okay. So Michael Bird, who I have some problems with, but he quotes this Twitter guy, Benjamin Perry.
He's that guy that did the TikTok thing about the Syrophoenician.
No. This is a different guy.
Oh, okay.
But same
genre.
Whoever needs to hear it, you can abandon things Paul said wholesale and still be a Christian. You don't have to rehabilitate the man or find ways to twist and to contort his words that never spoke for God in the first place. Feel free to take what is of love and leave the rest.
Oh my gosh, course, we're Episcopalian now.
And who decides what is of love? Of course, it would be you. You could decide what's of love, and that makes you
God. Literally God. Right. Actually, but not. I like it. You're self-divination.
Right.
Self-divine. I'm self-godding myself. What's the verb? If you have self-care.
Or self-deification.
Self-deification. Yeah. But it's kind of
self-divinization.
Long. That's also too long. Care leads me short. Like
self-godding.
Self-godding. Yeah, it is... It's wonderful.
Yeah. So.
So.
If Paul's not in the canon, I mean, I guess you still have to deal with Jesus. But you could throw out John, because John, Jesus is pretty strict there, but he's like another. Throughout John, you can weed through some of the synoptics.
Yeah, you can get. You can.
And just find out what love is. I mean, by looking within, and then take what you've discovered and then edit the Bible.
Which, again, everybody does. In right. every age, I
not so explicitly though. I mean, it's like people didn't. I mean, actual Christians do this by just ignorance or by just not meaning to. Right? You read the Bible and you just glaze over a text you don't pay attention to. But this is like blatant. This is Marcion. This is okay. So now we've wedded Pelagianism, which is we're all really really good, with Marcionism, which is and we're going to edit the Bible to do away with those parts that we don't like.
The thing that's interesting is if you if you're in pain, didn't he say that?
Whoever needs to hear it. So I guess that's where the pain is. Whoever needs to hear it, you can abandon things Paul said wholesale and still be a Christian. You don't have to rehabilitate the man or find ways to twist and contort his words and never spoke for God in the first place. How does he know this? How does he know that? Interesting.
Well,
I guess because Paul doesn't comport with his understanding of love, so therefore, and his understanding of love is God, and so
God is love.
Right. And God can't do what Paul said. Or Paul,
ergo.
Right.
Well, it's really tragic. Okay, so what are your, so I think that Christians should form a resistance against the world for Pride Month. It's not too late. It's only the 7th. And actually actively issue pride, rid themselves of pride for the month. I want to create a new liturgical season. It's going to be like Lent, except it's post-Easter. Can I just declare that this is so? I think Christians in June shouldn't take a special time to discipline themselves to get rid of their pride.
See, I think that's kind of scary. I don't know if we can do that. Humble month.
Yeah, humble. I'm self humbling.
Right. Well, see, I don't know if we can have a movement of that sort because it's certainly Look at how humble I am.
No, well, you can't do that. You can't tell anyone that you're joining me. So we'll all be
isolated. Your mom was asking like what a humble brag was yesterday.
Oh yeah, no. So and her humble brag was actually humble. because she shared a story of how she wasn't good. Whereas a humble brag is where you're actually good, but you're pretending to look bad.
I was late to the soup kitchen to help the poor yesterday because I misplaced my keys. And I spent 10 minutes looking for them before I could rush over and help the people who were waiting for food.
I'm absent-minded.
Absent-minded.
Yeah.
LOL or
sin,
whatever.
Sin. Lol. Yeah. Whereas, I can't remember what she said, but So, yeah, you shouldn't even confess your sins publicly if you're going to derive some sort of satisfaction from it.
Right.
Here's why I think it's worth talking about. Because I think that a lot of Christians, quote Christians, don't know what it looks like to be humble. And we have had so much information about how shame is so bad that they're very afraid of actually being uncomfortable about their own sins or their own identity or their own selves. That's a very uncomfortable sensation to discover that you're actually bad and then not run away from that feeling. But because of Brené Brown and the Enneagram, we just run away from feeling unhappy about who you are for a few minutes, because we've been told in churches that that's actually really damaging.
Yeah.
And so I want to make that great again. that conviction, so you feel conviction by of sin. Maybe you're in church and you hear the reading, the Bible read out loud, or then there's a sermon, and you feel bad about who you are. What should you do next? I'm going to make humility. What should you do? And I think we need to what exactly does that look like? How would you actually confess a sin?
I mean, I guess it's hard. This is one reason I think everyone should become Anglican and do the daily office every day. Because I'm just going to read briefly from the 1662 version of the Book of Common Prayer, which I got in the mail, or you got in the mail.
I got it in the mail. Right. So, speaking of self-stealing, where you steal something that belongs to somebody else.
Now, every day before morning prayer, or before the rest of the prayer, you confess your sins. And like the first page of the morning prayer service begins with like several quotes from Ye Olde Bible.
Ye Olde Bible.
Right. And I'll just read them. When the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws which he set before us. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is in it. This is all, it gives you an option for reading just some of them, or one of them, or two of them, I read all of them every morning.
Because you're so good.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a humble brag.
but I read all of them every morning.
Yeah, right.
And so should you.
Well, I was about to say why, because it does, like, the repetition of these. Okay, so I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Enter not into judgment with thy servant, O Lord, for in thy sight shall thy man be justified. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's the point. That
Hashtag love is love, lol.
Right. Right. So you read those and you're thinking about them as you're reading them. And God to churn up in your heart the things you need to confess. And doing that every day is really helpful.
But then what do you do with those feelings that are churned up? Because a lot of people think that once you've seen your sin and you've turned it up and you feel really bad, then you must change it. You must change. You must not be the same.
Okay,
and that's not, like, that's not it either.
Well, of course you should change, but you can't.
But you literally can't.
So I think the last thing I quoted, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse. So the actor in that text is he, that's God. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us. So there's no action point for you except to confess and then trust that he's going to do what he promises to do through your confession. It's like when God called to Adam and Eve and said, where are you? In the garden, he was just asking them to come out and expose themselves to him. And then he clothed them. And that's what you're doing. You're exposing yourself to God, and he clothes you with...
So there's no bootstraps. There's no self-confession. There's no self... action points.
Right.
It is. You're bearing your soul.
Right.
And then you're feeling sad, and you're trusting God. And you're asking him even to take away the feelings of sadness.
Right.
Like, you don't have to sit in a morass of shame. That's not what true confession. In fact,
no,
it's the only
it
way to get
over to.
Yeah. So you are not then shamed all the time. There's a huge difference between humility,
right,
and shame. And so when a Christian says in Pride Month to him or her or their self, I'm going to work on getting rid of my pride for Pride Month. You don't walk around crushed in spirit about how wretched you are. Every time you see how wretched you are, you give that to Jesus,
right,
and then you go out freely into the light and pray,
yeah,
for your neighbors and be friendly to them. Like, it's not, but it does mean getting rid of, you know, if you find, I think Americans have an idea of self-identity that, and even conservatives, people who would never celebrate Pride Month, still take pride in stuff that's not very useful. Political things or candidates for office.
Right.
Or where they shop or what they believe about the Rona.
Yeah.
Or lots of different things are still in opposition to the pride of others, still pride.
Right.
So you don't have to be LGBT affirming to still humble yourself before God and ask God to remove all your pride in Pride Month as a resistance to the world.
Right.
That's my campaign.
Well, I mean, it's the external things that we use to bolster ourselves up.
Yeah.
And the, you know, we've talked about it before, but the insidious need for people who are really trying to cover up their guilt to make other people celebrate what they're trying to cover up, right? So if you can turn this terrible thing, sexual desire for someone of the same sex, into a celebration point, and then force everyone else to celebrate it, that helps you quiet the conscience. You're then in the flags and the all of the bling,
mm-hmm,
the pride bling. You can just now wear that as an emblem, and you get kind of a relief from the guilt. It's not really, it doesn't take it away. It's still down there, but you feel a kind of psychic rest
for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. But
except you have to keep upping the ante because it really doesn't get rid of it.
Right.
And so,
and that's why it makes you so angry when someone refuses to wear the emblem or in fact refuse to affirm or celebrate diversity or whatever it might be, then you're, then there's a, the rage, that's where the rage is coming from. That's where the anger is coming from. Because you're the all the work to suppress guilt is just undone in a single word.
Yeah. Which is.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Well, there's a better way. So for Pride Month, the shoe pride. Okay. I guess I'll stop talking about it, but I might keep blogging because there's so much, out there this month.
I think we should. Yeah. I think you should. Because it's, yeah, it's great. So I think I really like that you have hit the nerve here.
I think all those ones are really old. I have a huge backlog of comments because people have been really mad at me over the last months. I don't know why. So, I think that those ones are old.
Yeah, they are old.
So, and I feel like I don't have anything else to talk about. I've said everything I wanted to say.
That's very strange.
I now would like to go and stare in my garden. I'm trying not to be proud of my garden for Pride Month.
Really? Is that what all the pictures?
Yeah, I just like went in a sort of extravaganza. I'm trying to direct all of that towards just gratitude that I have a garden. But I've been working, you've been working, actually, what am I saying, really hard in the garden for... the last 5 years, and it suddenly came into full bloom for the first time since we've lived in this house.
Yeah, it's been...
And it's strange because everything's blooming out, like stuff that never bloomed at the same time before. The irises are still going, and the roses never go at the same time as the peony, and like everything is in bloom. It's only going to last a few minutes, like I don't know, maybe a week. So I probably need to rush down and just stare at it. For the next few days.
It is remarkable. I haven't seen
the garden. It's really, really nice.
So that's very good.
I wish I could win a prize for my garden. I wish somebody would come along and see my garden and say, this is the best garden and I would like to give you a small trophy. Isn't that a thing? Can't you get
prizes for your
garden?
Yeah, I don't think we could. Well, there's some spectacular gardens.
I know. Someday, though, I feel like if I was going to work towards anything in my life, getting a garden trophy would be.
See, we'd have to have some kind of design for our garden. Our garden is not.
No, like, there is no design. That's true.
No, we have like an English garden or a French garden or like a.
Yeah.
And ours is just kind of a, let's plant that there.
Yeah. This is self-gardening. This is where my own inner sense of plants is manifested onto the landscape. And I am. It's a representation of who I am in the world. I'm just kidding. Okay, well, do you have anything else you want to say?
No. No, I think we've...
There's been a lot of dead air.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And I've got a lot of work to do today.
Yeah.
So I've got to write something that's...
a really long thing. Yeah. Well, so thank you for listening, and maybe we'll be back next week.